Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Two suspects are being... One case involves the DC. The FBI is now offering $100,000 to see if the police are releasing Marathon.
Welcome to Missing Mysteries. I'm your host, Keely. This is a true crime and paranormal podcast. It's spooky season, and of course we can't get a spooky season without talking about Ed and Lorraine Warren in some way. With over 100 cases of hauntings under their belt, when you talk about the paranormal topics, it's hard to not run into the Warrens during your research. Today's topic is Annabelle, the Haunted Raggedy Ann Doll.
Good evening, creeps. You know, everybody's entitled to one good scare on Halloween.
I told you, need to go check on the children.
But the podcasts of the Darkcast Network have enough scares to fill even the largest trick-or-treat sack.
No razor blades, I promise.
Join the pods of the Darkcast Network, including Murder, Murder News, Sinister Story Hour, Beyond the Rainbow, Cause of Death, October Pod AM, Rogue Darkness, Over the Fence, and me, Brenda, host of Horrifying History, for a pajama jammy jam of deliciously dark, devilish, and disturbing Halloween treats.
There was always something eerie about the second floor of this house.
We are like the house handing out full-size Snicker bars for your ears. And we're coming to this podcast, yes, the one you're listening to right now, on October 31st. That's Halloween Day 2022 on your favorite podcast streaming apps.
A long time ago, a man murdered his wife in that room.
Don't forget to wear your coziest pajamas for the Darkcast Network Halloween Sleepover, coming to this podcast on Halloween Day.
The Annabelle story we know starts in 1971 when a 28-year-old nurse named Donna got the Raggedy Ann doll as a Christmas present from her mom. It's not known where her mom got the doll, but it's believed that she got the doll at a secondhand store. That means that this doll could have had a whole different story in life before this, but we will never know. Donna loved this present she got from her mom, secondhand or not. She collected dolls and she would sleep with it every night and move it around the apartment, using the doll as decor, leaving it on her bed or the couch. Donna lived with another nurse named Angie in a pretty small apartment, and the two would work the same shift, 4 p.m. to 12 a.m., but just days after having this Raggedy Ann in their apartment, the woman started to notice something very odd. The doll started to move around the house. At first, it was small movements, like a slight change in position, but as time passed, the doll's movements became more noticeable. Donna and Angie would leave the apartment for work or to run errands and come home to find the doll in a completely different room. Most often, Donna would leave the doll on the couch before they left for work, and when she would come home for work, it would be back in her room, on her bed, the door shut. The doll would sometimes even be found in another room with its legs crossed or arms folded. The women started to ask each other if they were moving the doll, but when they were able to confirm it wasn't either of them, they wanted to make sure it wasn't someone else. They first thought maybe it was their landlord coming in while they were at work or out of the house playing pranks on them, which is honestly kind of terrifying on its own. Someone coming into your house and moving around your stuff when you're gone, but the women decided they needed to figure it out. They set up tape on their doors, moved a rug and items where they would be able to tell if someone was moving them or came inside. When none of these seemed tampered with, but the movement kept continuing, it piqued their curiosity. One morning, after sleeping with the doll, Donna brought the doll to have breakfast with the women at their table. Donna put her in the chair, joking with Angie that Raggedy Ann was going to have breakfast with them. Donna did this for two more days, and this is when the doll made its first movement in front of the women. The third day, the same thing as before, the doll was sitting in the chair at the table with them, and they were talking to the doll when it lifted its arms off of the chair and put them on the table. Angie told Donna that the doll was trying to communicate something to them and that one of their friends at work knew a medium who may be able to help them. That same night, after work, the medium came over to do a seance with the women where she told them exactly who was haunting this doll. A young girl named Annabelle Higgins was the spirit behind the doll, or so the medium told Donna and Angie. She told the women Annabelle was a young girl that lived on the property long before there were apartments built. She was only about 7 years old when she was found deceased on the property where their apartment sat. This story really got to the women, and thinking it was just a little girl, Donna welcomed Annabelle to stay in the doll and live with them. The women started to treat Annabelle like she was a little girl. They would buy her clothes, they would take her out for rides in the car, they bought her toys and jewelry, all while the energy and strength of Annabelle started to ramp up and even scare the women a little bit. The women were hearing knockings on the wall, high school temperature drops, their beds would shake, and they saw flashes of light in their bedroom. And for the worst thing, at least for me, when the women would return home from work early morning, Annabelle would be standing by the door waiting for the women. For those who may have never seen a Raggedy Ann or had one growing up, Raggedy Ann dolls are like stuffed animals. They are cloth with stuffing. The legs and arms are flimsy. They definitely don't stand on their own, and this is what makes it terrifying for me. The idea of the doll standing on its own when it can't stand on its own, just waiting for the women. Then one day, they found the doll with what looked like blood on it and started to receive messages under Donna's bed written in parchment paper, which they never had in their home. So they didn't know where this paper was coming from, where this possible blood was coming from, and how it could have gotten on the doll, how the paper could have gotten under Donna's bed. One note said, "Help us," which the women didn't understand since they had been taking care of the doll like they would Annabelle and even had multiple seances to contact and speak to it. The other note said, "Help Lou." I had a hard time finding a clear answer on who Lou was exactly, but Ed Warren called him Donna's fiance, while others said he was a friend or Angie's boyfriend. So a mix of who he could have been. Either way, Lou had a very different experience from the women with Annabelle. Lou did not like Annabelle, especially the attachment they had to the doll. He told the women multiple times to get rid of the doll. On one Saturday, while staying at the house, he told the women that they should burn it, throw it away, just get rid of it. Doesn't matter which way they did. That night, he went to bed and woke up in a panic from a recurring nightmare. This time, it felt different. He was stuck in a paralysis state. He looked around, and just as he did, he saw the Raggedy Ann doll gliding up his legs, where it made his way to his chest and started to strangle him. Lou, paralyzed and struggling to breathe, blacked out, waking up the next morning, feeling like what he had been through really happened. He was covered in sweat when he woke up and was clearly upset. He told Donna about his dream and walked over to the doll. He looked at it sitting on the chair, threw it on the ground, saying it was just a doll and had no power and it couldn't hurt him. Right in that moment, in front of both of the women, 7 fresh slashes appeared on his body, 3 on his chest and 4 on his stomach. Lou started to bleed through his shirt. Donna and Angie, seeing this happen, were both terrified and knew they had enough of this Raggedy Ann doll. The women called the Episcopal Catholic Church for help, who sent out Father Hegan, who immediately called in Ed and Lorraine Warren, since they had lived in the same state and he felt dealt with these sort of things more often than he did. The Warrens and their investigation had another priest by the name of Father Cook come in and help with the investigation. And most of you know who they are, but if you don't, the Warrens are a famous paranormal couple. Lorraine was a trans medium and Ed was a paranormal investigator. The two founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, but they also worked with the Catholic Church. The church often sent them out to investigate before sending priests to further assist the people experiencing a haunting. In this case, the priest had worked with the Warrens before and knew they could come help him. I'm now going to read you a little paragraph from the Warrens' website on how this investigation went. Ed and Lorraine Warren immediately took interest in the case and contacted Donna concerning the doll. The Warrens, after speaking to Donna, Angie, and Lou, came to the immediate conclusion that the doll itself was not in fact possessed, but manipulated by an inhuman presence. Spirits do not possess inanimate objects, just like houses or toys, they possess people. An inhuman spirit can attach itself to a place or object, and this is what occurred in Annabelle's case. The spirits manipulated the doll and created the illusion of it being alive in order to get recognition. Truly, the spirit was not looking to stay attached to the doll, it was looking to possess a human host. The spirit, or in this case, an inhuman demonic spirit, was essentially in the infestation stage of the phenomenon. It first began moving the doll around the apartment by means of teleportation to arouse the occupant's curiosity in hopes that they would give it recognition. Then, predictably, the mistake of bringing a medium into the house to communicate with it. The inhuman spirit, now able to communicate through the medium, preyed on the girl's emotional vulnerabilities by pretending to be a rather harmless lost girl, which, during the seance, was allowed permission from Donna to haunt the apartment. It aroused fear through the weird movements of the doll. It brought about the materialism of disturbing hidden notes, the symbolic drops of blood on the doll, and ultimately it even attacked Lou, leaving behind symbolic marks of the beast. The next stage of infestation phenomenon would have been complete human possession. Had these experiences lasted another 2 to 3 weeks, the spirit would have completely possessed, if not harmed or killed, one of the other or all occupants in the house. At the conclusion of the investigation, the Warrens felt it was appropriate to have an exorcism to cleanse the apartment. The Episcopal Blessing of the Home is a wordy 7-page document that is distinctively positive in nature rather than specifically expelling evil entities from the dwelling. The emphasis is directed towards filling the home with power of positive and of God. At Donna's request and as a further precaution against the phenomenon ever occurring in the home again, the Warrens took the big rag doll along with them when they left. Now, this Raggedy Ann did not want to leave Donna and Angie without a fight. On the way home from the women's apartment, with the doll buckled in the back seat, the Warrens' car, that they had no issues with before, started to act up. When driving, Ed made sure to take the back roads and hoped to keep the evil entity attached to the doll off the main road away from others. But with back roads come curves, and this is where trouble began. With every curve, their car would swerve and stall. The car's brakes began to fail, and they almost crashed multiple times. Ed had to reach into the back seat and douse the doll with holy water for this to stop and for them to make it home safely. At the Warrens' home, the doll was sat in a chair next to Ed's desk in the house, but the doll was standing up on its own. It started to move around the house, and the decision was made to move the doll to the office building that wasn't attached to the house. Even with this move, the doll being locked in the office of the building, it would still be found sitting in the chair next to Ed's desk when they returned home. Word got around that the Warrens had this haunted doll that would move around, and two men took very big interest in it. A detective came by to work with Lorraine one day. Since she often worked with law enforcement to help find answers into murder investigations, this was pretty normal. This detective was pretty close with the Warrens and asked Ed before he left the house if he could see this doll he had heard about. Ed agreed he could and took him to the basement of the house where she was now being kept with many other haunted items. At this point, she was just sitting in a chair. She did not have a case around her like she does today. Ed received a call when he and the detective were in the basement. Ed had to take the call upstairs and warned the detective not to touch anything. It's important to know that this detective was described by Ed as being 6'3", 240 to 280 pounds, and pretty much just pure muscle. He said this detective was a big man. Why it's important to know this is because Ed's call was only about 10 minutes when he could hear this detective struggling up the stairs. The detective was covered in sweat, panicked, and just was not looking well. Ed thought he was having a heart attack. So he started to tell the man he was going to call an ambulance for him, but the detective said, "No, Ed, that's not it." Ed asked him what was wrong, and the detective couldn't tell him. He looked over at Lorraine, and he told Ed, "I'll tell her." Ed went into the basement while the man was talking to Lorraine. Even though Lorraine has never told Ed what happened to the man, Ed was pretty sure he knew exactly what happened. In the basement, Annabelle was thrown on the floor. Everything had been thrown about and moved like some sort of fight happened. Ed was sure that he touched Annabelle and a struggle happened between them. They later found out that this man quit his job shortly after this experience and moved to California with no warning or reason. Then we have a priest who was friends with the couple that fell victim as well. This priest had gotten a new car. He came by to show it off and give the Warrens a ride in his new car. When dropping the couple off after this ride, he asked Ed if he could see the haunted Raggedy Ann. Ed took him to the basement where she was still sitting in just the chair. Ed told the father not to touch anything, but he did not listen. He walked over to Annabelle, threw her on the ground, and said, "God is more powerful than a devil." Ed said, "Yes, Father, but you shouldn't have done that." The father then said, "God is more powerful than many devils." And Ed told him, "Yes, Father, but you are a man. You are not God, and you shouldn't have done that." When the priest left their home, Lorraine was very worried for him and asked him to make sure to call when he got home safe. But the priest never made it back home that night. He called later that night to tell Lorraine that he had been in a nearly fatal accident. While driving home, his brakes failed as he was at a busy intersection. A semi-truck came by, taking the whole back end of his car with it. He told them that the last thing he saw before his accident was the face of the Raggedy Ann doll. After this, many things changed. Since 1972, Annabelle's home has always been with the Warrens and in the Warren Occult Museum. A special case was built to contain her so others would not touch her and she could not hurt others after this incident with the priest. This case is a wooden case. Inside of its wall is engraved with a St. Michael prayer, and the stain on the box is mixed with holy water. Outside of the box has three crosses to represent the Holy Trinity, and on each side there are a St. Michael protection plaque. It has also been blessed and contains a lock to keep people from trying to take her out. A second case has been made for when Annabelle needs to be moved for whatever reason. When being moved, there are special wielding gloves that are blessed and contain saint protection medals. Everyone involved with this will be blessed beforehand and must wash their hands in holy water before putting on the gloves. There is normally only one person who touches and removes the doll. For a while now, that person has been Dan Rivera, the senior lead investigator of the New England Society of Psychic Research. I want to note that Ed Warren passed away on August 23, 2006, and Lorraine passed away on April 18, 2009. But before their passing, the Warrens would tell everyone Annabelle is their most dangerous item in their collection of haunted items. One story in particular Ed told was about a young man. This was after Annabelle was put in her case, but he suffered a much worse fate than the other two men. Before his passing, Ed used to give tours to a group of college kids for $5. And on one tour, a young man came into the museum with his girlfriend. While Ed was telling Lou's story with Annabelle, this young man went up to Annabelle's glass, started banging on the glass, and he was demanding that she scratched him and showed him what she could do. Ed kicked the young man and his girlfriend out of the museum because this was not only disruptive, but it was dangerous. Leaving the museum that day, the young man and his girlfriend were laughing about Annabelle when the young man lost control of his motorcycle, hitting a tree head-on. The young man lost his life instantly, but his girlfriend, who was on the back of the bike, ended up being hospitalized for a year. The Warrens only found out about this young man's fate and what happened that night because the girlfriend called the Warrens after this to tell them what happened. Ed always warned everyone to never challenge evil, especially the evil that is inside of Annabelle. Since Ed and Lorraine's passing, their son-in-law Tony has taken over with their daughter Judy. Though there has been many rumors about Tony selling Annabelle or her disappearing, on Tony's YouTube channel, he has made it very clear Annabelle will be going nowhere as long as he is around and the people who he will be having taking over for him after he is gone will be around. He even pays for a separate security on Annabelle and the museum and moves Annabelle to a safe place unknown to the public when the doll is making headlines. Today, the Warrens Occult Museum has been closed for many years due to zoning laws. Tony and Judy do still own Ed and Lorraine's home. They are even there every day to take care of Lorraine's cat, Rosebud, that still lives in the home. But many trespasser signs have been put up due to the neighbors being unhappy about the people who show up to see the house. If you show up to the house, you will not gain access to Annabelle or any of her roommates unless you are invited by Tony. If you want to meet the real Annabelle, your best opportunity for that is to buy tickets to an event they put together where she is brought out of the museum. The closest event that you may be able to do this is Paracon. It is fairly close, but it's on October 28th and the 29th in Connecticut. But I want to warn you that there are many reports of people being sick and dizzy and bad things happening to them after being around Annabelle and her roommates that travel with her. Some even see Annabelle move her hands and switch positions while in her case. I want to know what you think of Annabelle. If you have met her and have your own experiences, I would love to hear it. If you want to tell me, join me on Misty Mystery social media like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All you have to do is search Misty Mysteries Podcast or follow the link in the episode notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please help me out by sharing with friends and family and leaving good reviews wherever you listen. For now, stay spooky, have a safe spooky season, and I will see you next week for another Halloween episode.